Disclaimer. The following presentation contains scenes of violence and disturbing content that may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are those of the characters and do not necessarily reflect the views of the producers. This is a work of fiction. Names, characters, businesses, places, events, locales, and incidents are either the products of the author's imagination or used in a fictitious manner. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events is purely coincidental. Chapter 9. Descent into Darkness. Under the veil of night, an unforeseen incident transpired at the army barracks, casting a shadow over the kingdom. As darkness enveloped the land, all of the women captives, once confined within the barracks walls, mysteriously vanished, leaving no trace behind. This sudden disappearance occurred without sound or warning, baffling those who would later discover the scene. The barracks, previously a place of captivity for these women, now lay deserted, the chains that once restrained them discarded and forsaken, marking the silent void left by their absence. In the concealed depths of the kingdom's governance, a vile secret thrived, known only to a select few within the royal court's inner sanctum. The army barracks, once a bastion of martial discipline and valor, had been insidiously transformed into a grotesque caricature of a brothel, its walls echoing with the depravity of unconscionable acts. This sordid transformation, hidden from the broader kingdom and even the unsuspecting king, was a truth only the crown prince and his close confidants were privy to. The sudden and unexplained disappearance of the women held captive within these barracks tore through the veil of secrecy, unveiling a chilling scene of debauchery and inhumanity that had been meticulously kept from the public eye. These women, victims of a nightmarish reality, were subjected to the twisted whims of depraved members of the royal lineage, used as pawns in their perverse games and vile indulgences. In the royal court's hidden chambers, a veil of silence enveloped the barracks' grim metamorphosis, a secret held tightly by a select few. This pact of silence ensured the horrors within were whispered about only amongst the privileged, never breaching the public's ear. The sudden disappearance of the captive women sent ripples of shock through those privy to the barracks' dark secrets, particularly the guards. Faced with a dilemma wrapped in shadows, they stood paralyzed, compelled to act but constrained by the secrecy surrounding the barracks and the invisible status of its prisoners. The utter lack of disturbance, devoid of any tangible evidence of conflict, left them without a premise to sound an alarm or initiate even a covert investigation. In the barracks' shadowed silence, a complex web of deception entangled those who knew the truth. The women's disappearance threatened to expose their once hidden existence, unraveling the carefully constructed secrecy surrounding their captivity. Caught in a bind, those aware faced an impossible choice: to act and reveal the dark secret, or to remain silent and complicit. Bound by a vow of silence and confronted with an intangible adversary, they were paralyzed by their own complicity. The barracks, silent and empty, stood as a stark testament to the hidden tragedies it harbored, a void now magnified by the disappearance of those it once concealed. Amidst the turmoil and the whispered conjectures, one name emerged from the shadows, whispered with a mix of fear and awe: Danuja. In the aftermath of the kingdom's calamities, Danuja was engulfed in sorrow. The demise of her father and the grim end of the army chief, both pillars of wisdom in her life, left her profoundly scarred. The realm, once a beacon of justice, had become alien to her, its core corrupted, its virtues, once imparted by her father, now mere whispers from the past. The loss Danuja endured was not just personal. It was transformative, witnessing the kingdom's descent into darkness. Her quest for justice evolved into a crusade for retribution. She became an embodiment of vengeance, determined to dismantle the corrupt foundation of the realm. One fateful night, Danuja initiated her bold strategy. She sought not only courage but allies who had similarly suffered in silence, recognizing in them a shared desire for justice. Their shared plight formed the basis of an unspoken pact, a collective yearning for redemption that mirrored Danuja's own resolve. Navigating the barracks' shadowy corridors, Danuja was driven by a clear purpose. The sight of the captive women, bound by chains of oppression, only fueled her determination to free them. In this moment, Danuja's plan transcended mere liberation. It was the first step towards reclaiming the soul of a kingdom lost to corruption. Utilizing ancient spells passed down by her father, She neutralized the guards, their awareness fading as swiftly as night gives way to dawn. This moment marked the beginning of their journey from oppression to freedom, led by Danuja's unwavering spirit. As each chain was unlocked and fell to the ground, a profound sense of urgency took hold among the women. Freed by Danuja's daring efforts, their initial shock quickly transformed into a collective resolve. The first instinct of every woman, upon feeling the weight of her own chains lifted, was to turn to her fellow captives. It was a silent, unspoken pact among them. No one would be left behind in this hellish place. With Danuja leading the way, they moved with purpose through the dimly lit corridors, their actions fueled by a newfound determination. Each woman, as soon as she was unbound, joined Danuja in the effort to free the others. They worked together seamlessly, their movements a testament to their shared resolve. The atmosphere was tense, charged with the adrenaline of escape and the fear of discovery. Yet, amidst this chaos, there was a profound sense of solidarity. These women, who had endured unimaginable horrors, now found strength in each other, their bonds forged in the crucible of their shared ordeal. As the last of the chains clattered to the floor and the final captive stood free, a quiet sense of triumph filled the air. Together, they had ensured that no one was left to suffer alone. With cautious steps, they made their way out of the darkness of the barracks, each woman supporting those among them who bore the deepest scars of their captivity. This moment marked more than just their escape. It was a testament to their collective will to survive and to the enduring spirit of humanity that even the darkest corners of the world could not extinguish. Danuja led the group of liberated women through the dense underbrush of the jungle, moving with the familiarity of someone who knew every tree and shadow. They reached a hidden enclave, shrouded in an almost palpable stillness, its entrance concealed by enchantments only Danuja could navigate. This sanctuary, crafted with meticulous care under the tutelage of her father and mentor, was her fortress, invisible to those who were not privy to its secrets. The hideout, nestled deep within the jungle's heart, was protected by a myriad of charms and spells, a testament to the arcane knowledge passed down to Danuja by Rajpurohit Mahendra. It was a haven, untouched by the world's chaos, where the air hummed with the latent power of protection and concealment. Danuja whispered an incantation, and the veil that masked the entrance lifted, revealing a haven that was both serene and impenetrable. The women, weary from their ordeal, stepped into this sanctum, their eyes widening at the contrast between their former prison and this place of refuge. This hidden refuge was more than a mere shelter. It was a place of healing and preparation, imbued with the strength and wisdom of her lineage. It was here, in this secluded oasis, that Danuja had honed her skills and fortified her resolve, under the watchful guidance of her father. The only other soul who had ever been welcomed into this secluded domain was the army chief, a man who had stood by Danuja and her father through times both turbulent and tranquil. His knowledge of this secret place, a bond of trust shared with Danuja, had been his undoing. The dark forces that sought to crush Danuja's spirit had extracted this precious secret from him through unspeakable torment, a sacrifice that had ultimately led to his and his family's tragic end. Once the hideout was securely cloaked from the outside world, Danuja turned her focus to the immediate needs of the women she had brought to this sanctuary. The atmosphere within the hideout was one of communal care, where the distress and deprivation they had endured transformed into a shared commitment to healing and support. Danuja, with her deep knowledge of healing arts learned from her father, attended to those who required medical attention, her hands moving with the precision and gentleness of a seasoned healer. The hideout resonated with the sounds of nurturing and recovery as makeshift teams formed organically among the women, each taking up roles that played to their strengths, ensuring no one was left uncared for. Nourishment, both physical and emotional, became their collective priority. Food was prepared in communal batches, with every meal a testament to their solidarity. Conversations around the hearth where they cooked and dined together wove a tapestry of shared experiences, binding them closer with each passing day. Their bond was forged not from convenience, but from a profound understanding of each other's suffering. This connection became their strength, a counterbalance to the darkness they had faced. Among them were women whose spirits and bodies bore the deep scars of their ordeal. These individuals received the gentlest care, enveloped in a cocoon of empathy and patience that facilitated not just physical healing, but a tentative mending of their fractured selves. In the days that followed, Danuja took on the role of both leader and mentor, guiding the women through the process of mutual aid. She shared her knowledge of foraging and herbalism, turning their surroundings into a classroom where lessons in survival and resilience were imparted. Medicines were concocted from the bounty of the jungle, their healing properties aiding in the physical recovery of the group. As Danuja gathered with the women she had freed, their collective narratives began to weave a disturbing story of unimaginable cruelty. Amidst their accounts, a shocking truth emerged, one that challenged everything Danuja thought she knew about the depth of human depravity. It wasn't just the men who had orchestrated this dark carnival of torment. Women of high stature, too, had partaken in these heinous acts, displaying a level of cruelty and perverse ingenuity that was chilling to the core. But the darkness did not end there. Danuja learned that this twisted web of exploitation was not confined to Suryagar alone. Shandangar, too, was embroiled in this vile narrative, participating in a depraved exchange of flesh that crossed the borders of realms. The ruling elite of both kingdoms, in their pursuit of perverse pleasure, had commodified women, trading them as pawns in their vile games and unspeakable competitions. As Danuja listened to the harrowing accounts from the women she had rescued, a stark truth became evident. The depths of torment they had endured were unimaginable. Yet, even among these tales of unspeakable suffering, the mere mention of Chandangar evoked a visceral fear, bringing tears to their eyes and reopening wounds of terror. The horrors of Chandangar, as Danuja soon discovered, were of an entirely different magnitude. The shadow that loomed over this place was denser, its cruelty boundless, and marked by a chilling inventiveness. Here, women were not merely subjected to brutal violations, they became the unwilling subjects of perverse experiments. The torturers of Chandangar dabbled in poisons, experimented with exotic herbs, and subjected these women to trials with unknown substances, treating their bodies as mere objects of curiosity. The revelations painted a picture so vile, so utterly devoid of any shred of humanity, that they seemed to defy reality. The survivors bore witness to atrocities so severe that their stories felt as though they were torn from the very fabric of nightmares, resonating with the echoes of the darkest, most infernal pits imaginable. The trauma endured by the women extended far beyond their physical scars. Their spirits had been shattered, their sense of self-worth obliterated. Freed from the clutches of their tormentors, many harbored a desire for nothing more than the peace of eternal rest, a release from the memories that haunted them. Danuja, recognizing the depth of their despair, implored each one to cling to a new purpose, the liberation of their counterparts trapped in the horrors of Chandangar. This mission, she proposed, would not only serve as their collective redemption but also as a testament to their resilience. Danuja and the women who stood with her understood that their fight transcended personal vendettas. They were now the vanguards in a battle to reclaim the very essence of their civilizations from the depths of depravity. Bonded by their shared ordeal and strengthened by their collective resolve, they prepared to confront the darkness that lurked behind the grand facades of Suryagar and Chandangar. Despite the dangers that lay ahead, their determination was unwavering, fueled by a desire for justice that illuminated their path forward, a guiding light amidst the encroaching shadows. As Chapter 9 draws to a close, the echoes of the women's harrowing escape and the veil of secrecy surrounding the army barracks dissipate, giving way to a chilling revelation of a deeper, more sinister bond between Chandangar and Suryagar. This newfound knowledge of a shared legacy of cruelty and exploitation marks a pivotal turn in the narrative, unraveling a complex tapestry of deceit and malevolence that extends far beyond the confines of a single kingdom. In the shadows of this revelation, Danuja, once a beacon of hope and justice, grapples with the weight of her own exhaustion and the moral imperative that drives her forward. Her unwavering commitment to the cause, even at the brink of her own collapse, stands as a testament to her resilience and the depth of her conviction to right the wrongs of a deeply flawed world. Chapter 10 promises to thrust us deeper into the heart of darkness, where the line between ally and enemy blurs, and the fight for liberation extends beyond physical chains to confront the very essence of evil that permeates the two kingdoms. As the tale unfolds, the women, emboldened by their shared ordeal and united under Danuja's faltering yet resolute leadership, prepare to embark on a perilous mission that could alter the fate of their world or seal it in shadow. Listeners, brace yourselves for a journey into the depths of human cruelty and the resilient spirit of those who dare to challenge it. Chapter 10 beckons, ready to reveal the untold stories of anguish and the glimmer of hope that persists in the darkest of times, illuminating the path towards redemption and the potential rebirth of a world torn asunder by its own corruption.